Blog Talk Radio.
What are my two favorite things about the 4th of July? Sweet treats and family memories.
Walmart has the sweet treats covered, because during the Summer of Savings event, you'll find 6-count original Klondike bars and 6-packs of Snickers ice cream bars, both on rollback for just $2.97. As for the memories...
Mom, Grandma's hogging the trampoline again.
You never know what will happen at our house.
Get to the Summer of Savings event going on now. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Blog Talk Radio.
My life is a gift from you, blessed from heaven, that's for sure. So every day I live, give thanks to you. Oh, I haven't been perfect, and that's okay. And you still show love my way, yeah. Please don't leave me stay, 'cause I know the sun doesn't shine, the rain doesn't fall, and there wouldn't be a twinkle, twinkle little star. And just like we have winter, spring, and summer, fall, I can always count on you, because you never let me down. You've always been around. And my trust for you will never leave. It will never leave. Because you know my destiny. So I believe. Oh, 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 oh. Oh. Every day my faith is stronger. Knowing you're there, I hang on a little longer. Sometimes life gets a little hard, hey. Your times are tough, so hard to bear. I get weak sometimes, I feel you really don't care. But when I open my eyes and look out the window and see that the sun doesn't shine and the rain doesn't fall, and there wouldn't be a twinkle, twinkle, little star, yeah. And just like we have a winter, spring, and summer, fall, I can always count on you, 'cause you never let me down. You're always been around, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, who has come to us this day and granted us a mercy, a blessing, and a way out of all of this travail, tribulations, and trials, in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment. We're talking about none other than the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audience with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love. As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. And you can also check us out over at LinkedIn.com. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The subject today is, as the whole world goes out, the atmosphere is of poverty, dread, and fear. We bear witness with all of the signs that are being shown to us, from Mark Faber to Jim Rogers, to Gerald Celente, to Peter Schiff, and all of these newcomers, Greg Manarino and AMTV, and all of the people who are investors who have ties to this old world, who have made their living in the old system of deception and murder and occupation, all of them are now jumping ship and telling the world that the system is on overload. And it is about to go down. And there's absolutely nothing that no one can do. Nothing that no one can think of. Nothing that can be done that can stop the divine onslaught, which is bringing down America specifically and the Anglo world generally. It reminds me, as I was not going to go to this, but we've read this before, but I'm going to go to it real quick because it describes exactly what we're talking about so precise. It comes to me, and I'm going to have to read it to you again on page 170. Let me go to it real quick. Here we are, 170, The Fall of America. And actually, the title is called The Destruction and the Fall. And you would wonder, well, why did Elijah Muhammad, for those of you who do not recognize who Elijah Muhammad is, he is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. He is the messenger of God. He is the second self of God. He is the lamb without spot or blemish. He is that doorway out of the hell that is here today and that will be kindled even hotter and more intense in the coming hours and days. In his book, revealed to him by the Lord of the worlds, he writes a chapter 40, and it is titled The Destruction and Fall. He puts it in chapter 40. The title, The Destruction and Fall, in a book titled The Fall of America. And in this chapter, he starts off with these words: the destruction and fall of the world that we have known is now, without a doubt, in process. When we refer to the world, we are referring to the world of the white man, for the world of the black man has yet to come in. The world of the black man, by divine guidance, is now merging in on the old world of the white race. This makes the destruction and fall of the world of the white man imminent. There's no stopping it. It is on its way. It's in a hurry, right? He goes further and says this: here in America, we can see nothing but the fall of America. It is no secret. It is obvious to the eyes that are open. If we want to close our eyes and minds and claim that we do not see and understand, then we will be falling ourselves. Stop right there. But it's another part I want to read in that too. Some of us, we are so in love with this world. We brag about the little meaningless degrees. You can see that on Facebook everywhere. We brag about this and brag about that in the midst of a total onslaught that is bringing America to her knees. Isn't that something? You are priding yourself in the fall of a world. You're not saying, let me take this degree, let me join on with my brothers and sisters, and let me build something for my own people as this world goes out. You're not thinking about another foundation because you have been captured. I don't care how much you say, assalamu alaikum. I don't care how much you were a minister of the messenger. I don't care how much you are a brother of this or a sister of that. You have been captured mentally. All of the luxuries and all of the temptations of this world. And even though on one hand you teach Elijah Muhammad, the other hand tells us by the actions that you still believe that there is hope, there is time, and there is a chance for the rebound of this world. And if you believe that through your actions, even if you don't believe it in your words, Muhammad says this: if we want to close our eyes and minds and claim that we do not see and understand, then we will be falling ourselves. So it doesn't matter how much of an assalamu alaikum you have. It doesn't matter how much of a congregation you may have following you. If you close your mind to the collapse of the old world and all that it has as it goes out and refuse to see that there's an atmosphere of poverty, dread, and fear, you too will be falling and instead in that world as it goes out. Right? Muhammad goes on and further says this to us. This refusal to see is foolhardy. So those of you who are in the position of power and authority, who are integrating and who are doing this, Muhammad calls you foolhardy. That's what he says. This is the description he uses with leadership and others who want to retain some semblance of the whole world. When the book teaches you, behold, I make all things new. He didn't say I make part of the things, some of the things, or most of the things, or nearly everything. It said, behold, I make all things. So all of that has to go out. The old mind, the old way, the old action, the old manner, the old speech, it has to go. And God will put a new song in your heart, a new knowledge in your head, and a new love in your heart. He will regenerate you from this world into the old. You will become an original man again, an original woman again. We're in the works of that right now. But you're foolhardy. According to the online dictionary, it says foolhardy, recklessly, thoughtlessly bold, foolishly rash, or venturesome. Huh? It calls you reckless, thoughtless, and foolish. This is what he says. Let's use those definitions as we say, as we read this. The refusal to see is reckless, thoughtless, foolish. For regardless to how we may desire to see the old world stand or some semblance of it, we do not have the power to stave off the destruction that causes the world of the white man to fall. The destruction and power that is bringing about the fall of the world of the white man is coming from Allah. It ain't coming from Russia. It's not coming from China. It's not coming from the sun, the moon, or the stars. It's coming from Almighty God in person. He is the source which all of this emanates from, because these are his days, the days of Allah, or the days of the Son of Man. His presence is being made manifested, and it can be felt and seen and heard everywhere, you know, as we're talking on this. This is an article comes out on the Hiram 1555 blog today. And it's talking about what the devil has said himself. He recognizes that his world is going out. And remember, Allah, the messenger says, he talks to us about the old world. He's talking about the Western world, the white world, the world of the white man going out. He specifically tells us that throughout the fall of America, throughout the message to the black man, throughout our Savior has arrived. And he says there's two worlds at war, the old and the new. And I was listening to this devil, and so I wrote an article, and I took a clip from one of the articles that they had to put in there. And the devil is telling you that over his atmosphere, outside the magnetic force of the sun is weakening the gravitational pull in the atmosphere over the earth. But what's unique about it is this. It is weakening it over the Western Hemisphere, according to the scientists. And it says that this right here is opening up the West for tsunamis and hotter weather. Of course it's going to be hotter weather because Allah is cutting the short through the gravity. This is what's going on. And he's going to use, as he says, the powers of the sun, the moon, and the star, and everything in nature to kindle his fire here in the Western Hemisphere. Muhammad taught these. And now the scientists are putting this out there for you to see. I'm not talking about the God scientists. I'm talking about the devil scientists are putting this out there for you to see and bear witness to what the God said through the mouth of his messenger. It's amazing how they're bearing witness to what Muhammad says. As Muhammad says, they were kind of shortest in the gravity, right? Read the article today as it comes out. I don't know if it comes out now or next hour or something like this. And you'll see what the devil is saying. And this even charts on how the magnetic atmosphere around the Western Hemisphere is being weakened to such a degree. The devil is telling you this. So what he's saying in words is there's a shortage being cut in the gravity. That's what he's telling you. And it makes it easier for fire to be kindled. Well, isn't that what Elijah Muhammad said? Huh? What the devil is now saying it. What about the 8.0 earthquake that hit Alaska and the ones that's been touching California? We've done an article. And we told you that California will be devastated before it is destroyed. The whole West Coast will be lost to the destruction of America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. He sends us the signs. We've got to be wise enough to watch the signs. And this time, the judgment is speeding up so fast. And now, brothers and sisters, vindication. We don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but sometimes we must because we follow what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. What is going on in the Middle East? What are the articles being written? Did Israel just start World War III? Did such and such just happen? Israel bombed Syria. What did we tell you? What have we been saying this whole time on this show? The jump-off point is where? North Africa and where? The Middle East. And it will be bloodshed and plenty of it. As the old world goes out, the atmosphere is of poverty, dread, and fear. The whole world is building itself up for war. Because the economic system has imploded and it stands in a dire, in a very precarious situation. But further, Muhammad says, the destruction and power that is bringing about the fall of the world of the white man is coming from Allah. In the past history of the world of the white man, there never was a time of destruction of his world like the present time. Now let us go to this sentence right here. And this negates any torchlight offered. This negates any integration as a hope of helping these people out of this destruction. This negates anyone thinking that they are wise enough to save this man and his world who has never been good enough for you to even think about saving. Listen to what Muhammad says. It is useless, you hear that, for you to try to prevent the fall of the white man's world. He said, it's useless. You see? And unless you know what the word useless means, you may fall victim to these so-called leaders. Well, brother, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad meant was, no, what he meant is what he said. The word useless is an adjective of no use, not serving the purpose or any purpose, unavailing or futile. Huh? It is useless to reason with him. Without useful qualities, of no practical good. The synonyms for useless, some of them are fruitless, profitless, valueless, worthless. All right? Isn't that something? So he's saying it is fruitless, it is profitless, it is valueless, it is worthless. It is inutile to prevent the fall of the white man's world. Why, Elijah Muhammad? Why is it that way? There is no checking it. It cannot be checked. Why, Elijah Muhammad? The white race has not tried to do the right thing. Justice. The doing of justice would have checked her fall, and that's in Bible Jeremiah. But America was never willing, and even at this hour, she is not willing to do justice by those whom she has mistreated. Look what happened in the Middle East. Kerry and all of the rest of them said, we're not responsible for the brutality and the wars in Libya, Yemen, Iraq, Syria, in the surrounding area. Well, it was your wars, your presence, your bribery, your threats that started it all off, right? But once they get in there, they put their hands, well, I didn't do it. When it goes awry, I didn't do it. They still will not admit to the wrong. And look at how they do us here in America in the bowels of the beasts of hell. Killing us like it's an all-day killing fest in America. Putting us in prison to make money and to commit, as that scientist said on our last show, genocide and crimes against humanity. He said on the last show we played him, he said that this constitutes war crimes and a violation of the Geneva Convention. You know what happened during the Geneva? They used the Geneva Conventions in the Nuremberg trials. Stand Nazis up against the wall and shoot them and hang them, brothers and sisters. America, as according to this international scholar, scientist, and international lawyer says, is deserving of the same thing for her mistreatment and brutality of the so-called American Negroes. So God is the just judge. We have looked to the courts. We have looked to lawyers. We have looked to judges and all kinds of socioeconomic systems to give us justice, and justice lies bare under their foot, trampled on the ground. So now Jesus or justice is rising, but it is not of the white man. It is because of the power of God who is resurrecting justice or Jesus out of the depth of this white man's grip. And we are now seeing justice be inherited throughout the earth because judgment has set. And whenever judgment has been set, justice arises, right? So as the old world goes out, the atmosphere is of poverty, dread, and fear. It is poverty spreading quicker than you can look left to right. Dread is everywhere because everybody is dissatisfied and in a panic mode, and fear because of the excitement of the wealth destruction and the removal of a world and a system who has done nothing but pillage and suck the life out of those who were not able to sustain themselves due to being knocked in the head. Justice now reigns because judgment has been set. It's a beautiful day because this is your world coming in, and their world is going out, and they're scared as hell, and no matter what they're doing, they cannot stop the bum rush. I know what I said on the last show. I'm going to get to some of the clips. That's why I extended that show to an hour and a half, so just in case we have to go to 2 hours. And you're going to listen, and you're going to understand, and you're going to pay attention, and make sure you listen closely to what is being said to you so that you don't go back with a but. Don't go back with a but. Listen and let it marinate in your mind and in your head and in your soul that you may be enriched spiritually. They are manipulating the numbers. They are trying to tell you that inflation is not here, but Mr. Mark Faber laughs at him and says this. And this is the intro to this thing. It's only a few seconds.
Financial Sense Insider is a premium subscription service of PFS Group. The following is a free preview of today's Insider interview.
Joining us on the program is Dr. Mark Faber from the Gloom, Boom, and Doom Report. Mark, I'd like to pick up our conversation with your interview on Barron's. Let's start out with the U.S. economy. In the first quarter, we got a negative print, and there's rumors that it may even be a negative 2%. So it is unlikely, at least at this point with a negative print, that the U.S. economy is going to grow at 3% this year. What's your view?
Well, my view is and has been since the end of last year. And I think we talked at the time, and I mentioned that I was long 10-year U.S. Treasury note because I think that the economy is weak. Now, can the government, with its treating of economic statistics produce 3% growth by underestimating the rate of inflation. That is a possibility. But in general, I think aside from the economy of the very well-to-do, the ordinary people are suffering. And I want to explain exactly why. First of all, for ordinary people, the real wages, the income adjusted for inflation by some economies have actually been down since the 1970s, by others since 1999 or 2000. But for sure, they have not kept up with the cost of living expenses, such as rental, insurance costs, healthcare costs, transportation costs, food costs. It's a complete joke to say that inflation is running at, I don't know what the government says in the U.S., 1% or 2%, because I don't pay attention to government statistics except to view the market reaction to the statistics. But otherwise, they're a complete lie, as well as all the government officials' statements. They are a complete lie. And so I think that the economy is weak. Now, what will the Fed do? Who knows? But I would say, given the weakness in the economy, I think stocks are relatively high. We also have weakness in emerging economies, where most of the growth in the world came and most of the earnings growth came from. So in general, I think stocks are by and large fully priced.
Now, he's telling you that the government is lying on everything that she puts out. Now, this is the white man who's made billions of dollars. He's telling you that the system is corrupt to the core. When we tell you this, it's racism. When we tell you about this, oh, that old Elijah Muhammad and you old Muslims, y'all hate white folks. It's not, the messenger says it's not that he teaches us to teach to hate white people. It's that he teaches us not to make love with the devil. All right? And so we're telling you, don't get ensnared with the rosy promises of a brighter future, a brighter tomorrow, when we can see that the sun is going down on this society today. It's a terrible time for this world. And if you want to ensnare yourself in this trap that was laid for her, you are dooming not only you, but those who are close to you to an unnecessary chastisement and doom. Oh, you're going to come to Elijah eventually. Because scripture says it, but you're going to have to be beaten. For those of you who don't accept it the way he says it, and you thinking that, oh, I'm going to get, I saw some brothers, as I was talking to one brother in private, and then I checked Facebook, I saw some brothers, I won't say which camp they are, talking about the degrees that their children have, and talking about the degrees, well, I can say the same thing about family members here. You understand? But the point is, if that degree is not going to help us be self-producers, first, we may have to get a start crawling, but if it's not going, if the ultimate goal is not to be self-independent, then that degree is just a banger's rope around your neck, further pushing you towards reliance on the same people whom God is destroying, right? If you think that you are equal in America, if you think that America is colorblind, the city that Mr. Obama cut his teeth in, where there's shootings right down the street from his home, yet he says nothing. The city that really helped him get notoriety, yet he sends 300 advisors to Iraq, but won't send 300 people to talk to your kind within the city that where he cut his teeth at. Isn't that so? The only time he sends some, and when he's militarizing it, right, against you and those of your kind. He won't send to you, but he sends it to Wall Street. He won't send economic help to you, but he sends it to the thieves, the Jews on Wall Street, right? And you tell him, oh, Obama's such a good guy. Well, this ought to show you just how good he is and just how much he thinks of you, black man, especially you in Chicago. Listen close.
Well, tonight, startling new figures about the jobless rate pushing young men to the tipping point. 92% of African-American male teenagers here in Chicago do not have a job, and the trend is headed in the wrong direction for white and Hispanic teens as well. The job's catastrophic. It's very bad here. Worse than the national average. Political editor Mike Flannery is here with some insight into those numbers. Mike.
Darlene, it is a catastrophe. The shocking numbers released by the Chicago Urban League are one more grim result of Illinois having 600,000 fewer jobs today than we did in the year 2000. Work that teens traditionally did, from delivering newspapers to flipping burgers, is now being done by adults desperate for any income.
High school senior Devontae King is one of the lucky ones. He actually found two on and off part-time jobs last year. Combined, he earned less than $1,000, but he was part of the 8% of African-American male teens in Chicago who did find legitimate work. 92% of those aged 16 to 19 were unemployed.
It's a very shocking. I mean, like, if anybody else see them numbers, like, hopefully they'll come together and be like, we need to do something.
The jobless plight of Chicago's black teens, especially males, was analyzed in a new study released today by the Chicago Urban League. Nationwide, 17% of black males 16 to 19 had some sort of job, 12% in Illinois, just 8% in Chicago.
We do the studies because I think most people don't realize how bad the problem is and understand why this should be a prior issue. They think, oh, summer jobs for kids, that's a nice thing. It's not a nice thing. It's a required thing.
I can tell people, like, oh, I got a job. You can get a job, too. You know,
how did that make you feel to be able to tell people you had a job as a security guard?
I mean, it made me feel wonderful.
9 out of 10 young Chicagoans like him, though, don't get to experience that wonderful feeling of validation and achievement that comes when you're able to say, I have a job. By the way, thanks to Diane Latiker at Kids Off the Block for introducing us to Devontae King. Darlene?
All right, Mike, great program over there. Thank you so much. Check in with Jeffrey.
But America's colorblind. We are all equal. 92%. Let me say this. A city of millions, brothers and sisters, a city that was founded by a black man. 92% of the black youth there are unemployed. And then they wonder why they're gangbanging and slinging and all this stuff out there. You understand? And it said the trend is heading south for the white and Hispanic. But hold up. If that was a city founded by black people, run by black people, then why the hell is it not the other way around? How come the numbers could not be headed down for blacks? That meaning that the blacks were in a better economic situation, and how come these white and Hispanic couldn't be at 92%? You understand? We are at the bottom rung of this society. We've been here for 5 centuries, and it shows you in a city that's dominated by blacks. Well, it was dominated by blacks. It's amazing. It's amazing, isn't it? The numbers. And remember what Mr. Faber says, the numbers are a complete lie. So if they're telling us 92%, it's more like 98%. Yet you still got this social equality in your head. When all of these things show you, and brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The title is not just to get your attention as the world goes out. The atmospheres of poverty, dread, and fear. You see the poverty-stricken blacks in Chicago and around the globe. But also, what about our elders who are living on Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security? What is their future like in a land where they have that black puppet there just smiling and saying, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, yes, sir, master, whatever policy you want me to enact, sir, just tell me, boss. Boss, and I sign it with the swiftness of lightning. This is going on, brothers and sisters, and they are making an attack. This is an economic war on you as they are spreading biological agents on us through our food and in our water. We must learn to rely solely on the Lord of the worlds, because now the attack is not just on the youth or on the women, which it was as they're sterilizing our women in prison, as we showed you on one of the clips on the last show, or the show before last. It's an all-out assault to keep us subjected and to go to hell with them. And listen, this is our elders now. Listen closely to this. It's about to come on.
Hi, everybody. Today is June 18th, 2014. I hope you're all doing well today. Social Security closes offices as baby boomers age. Yeah, when I seen that, I went, what? Even as millions of baby boomers approach retirement, the Social Security Administration has been closing dozens of field offices, forcing more and more seniors to seek help online instead of in person, according to a congressional report being released Wednesday. The agency blames budget constraints. As a result, seniors seeking information and help from the agency are facing increasingly long waits in person and on the phone, the report said. Social Security has closed 64 field offices since 2010, the largest number of closures in a five-year period in the agency's history, according to a report by the bipartisan staff of the Senate Special Committee on Aging. In addition, the agency has closed 533 temporary mobile offices that often serve remote areas. Hours have been reduced in the 1,245 field offices that are still open, the report said. The report questions the agency's criteria for choosing which offices to close, saying the impact on local communities is rarely taken into account. Seniors are not being served well when you arbitrarily close offices and reduce access to services, said Senator Bill Nelson of Florida, chairman of the Aging Committee. The closure process is neither fair nor transparent and needs to change. The committee is holding a hearing on the report Wednesday afternoon. A Social Security official is scheduled to testify. On Tuesday, the agency released a short statement on the report. We appreciate the Senate Aging Committee's report on service delivery issues and the tough choices we have had to make because of budget constraints, the statement said. We just received the report this morning and have begun reviewing its findings and recommendations. We will respond to the committee when that analysis is complete. The closing comes as applications for retirement and disability benefits are soaring, a trend that will continue as aging baby boomers approach retirement. More than 47 million people receive Social Security retirement benefits, nearly a 20% increase from a decade ago. About 11 million people receive Social Security disability benefits, a 38% increase from a decade ago. The Social Security Administration has been encouraging people to access services online. The agency has upgraded its website in recent years, probably like Obamacare. Yeah, try and get information, you know, you want. What about security, privacy? It says it includes secure connections to access confidential information. People can apply for benefits without even visiting Social Security offices. But the committee report notes that many older Americans lack access to the Internet or might not be comfortable using it to apply for benefits. Last year, more than 43 million people visited Social Security offices, the report said. About 43% of those seeking an appointment had to wait more than 3 weeks, up just 10% the year before, the report said. Waiting times on the phone have increased, too, for those who get through. This year, the agency projects that 14% of callers to a toll-free helpline will get a busy signal. Those who get through will wait on hold for an average of 17 minutes, the report said. How much you want to bet it's more like an hour? The union that represents field office employees is calling for a moratorium on office closures. There are many, many instances where the case may be too complicated to be resolved simply by going online, said Senator Susan Collins of Maine, the top Republican on the Aging Committee. Far too many seniors throughout our nation, particularly those living in rural areas, might not have access to a computer or the Internet. It is critical that SSA take into account these issues and the effect on the community before eliminating services. So what's going on? Is this another indication of the coming crash? I know inflation is out of control. Any thoughts or comments you might have below? Thank you for watching my video. Bookmark.
Now, we see that the unemployment is out of control. We see that the food prices are out of control. We see that the violence is out of control. And now you're seeing that there's a move against what they call, see, when they want to talk about you, black man and black woman, they say urban. That's what they say. That's a code word for black. So in the urban communities, the communities that are barely hit by the situation, they're closing mobile offices. Isn't that something? They don't have criteria of how to close down something. They just close it in yours. Do you still think that you're equal in America? Do you still think that you share equally with the true Americans? Do you still think that America is colorblind and that we have progressed from out of the racist 50s and 60s to a better America today? As you so-called bold Negroes say, we're in a better America today. We've made so much progress under such and such and such. Where's the progress? Huh? They're using Obama to trick you against your own salvation. And Mr. Stephen Fetchit, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, loves to do it. He has sold his soul for the sake of a pat on the back. Look, think about this. In the city that you call your own, 92 to 98% of people of your color can't find a job. Isn't that calls for an executive order? He makes it, when Congress don't do what he says, he writes up an executive order, right? Stipulating that it is in the national interest of America. Well, what could be more in the interest of America than helping people to provide for themselves and their families? Or else you're going to be saddled with insurrection and rioting and rebellion, right? Isn't that a national security threat? Mountain poverty, especially amongst the people who built this country for free? Where's the respect? Not just by white America, but by this man who is in office, claiming to be the first black president of America. Where's the respect to black America and to our ancestors who toiled the soil in torment and in hell? Where's the respect? Oh, brothers and sisters, come here. Let's talk for a minute. Oh, whoa. We'll go to page 200-201. This is what Muhammad calls this Negro. This is what he says his plans are. America wishes to oppose Allah in this work of bringing justice and freedom to her once slaves. But this is just what Allah wants. He wants America to attack him to get the fight started and to bring his full judgment against her with the fullness of his strength and power. See, prior to 9/11, even white people, massive amounts of white people were turning to Islam. A massive amount of black people were in the black power mind frame, and they were trying to figure their way, and they were gravitating toward Elijah Muhammad, and they wanted to do a little research from Elijah Muhammad, and them devils couldn't do it. So what did they do? They want to tell you that some 19 hijackers beat all of the security apparatuses of America and ran some planes into some buildings. And you believed it. And you still believe it like a fool. This is a war on Islam. More so, this is a war on black America. More so than anything else, black men and women. All that you see going on in the Middle East, all that you see going on in Europe and in Africa, it is mainly to alienate your mind and your heart from the presence of God and the purpose set out for his messenger. This is what this is to keep you a slave. To keep you from focusing that God is not coming, but God is present. That Elijah Muhammad is not going to be raised up, but he is in our midst today with the purpose of freeing us and leading us out of the hell through his blueprints and his plans of the resurrection given to him by God Almighty. Brothers and sisters, listen what Muhammad says. America is bringing about political gloom. Here, politicians are unable to carve out a future for America. The plan of deceiving the so-called Negro politicians, plural, to work against their own salvation, justice, and equality, their own freedom, justice, and equality that Allah has brought to them is making the so-called Negroes in high offices become the enemies. And then he goes from plural all while he's talking, when he's addressing politicians in high offices, he goes in plural, he uses the S to describe more than one. Then automatically when he gets to a particular one who is in the highest of an office, he goes from plural to singular. Listen, the plan of deceiving the so-called Negro politicians to work against their own freedom, justice, and equality, salvation, that Allah has brought to them is making the so-called Negroes in high offices become the enemy of his, you see the singular now, of his own people's freedom, justice, and equality from plural to singular. He's showing you something. All right, let's go a little further, and maybe it'll become clear. Such offices are held out as a bribe to get black politicians to work against the spread of the truth of their salvation. They are happy, and their boss knows that they are, to have a place near him in such offices just for the purpose of trying to oppose Allah and his messenger in freeing the poor black man who is in the mud. This is causing the political confusion and complete destruction of the house divided against itself. All praise is due to Allah. So Allah is telling us through the mouth of his messenger that Obama's express purpose for being up there. Listen to what he says. Such offices are held out as a bribe to get black politicians to work against the spread of truth of their salvation. So when he talks about Al-Qaeda, he don't tell you that they run them. He don't tell you that they finance them. He don't tell you that they supply them with weapons and training, does he? He just says Al-Qaeda. He doesn't tell you that it is a part of the U.S. government network of false flag operators, right? But you start, those Muslims over there killing. Those Muslims ain't no good. Those Muslims are merciless. Who in the hell is more merciless than this beast over here who has dropped not one but two nuclear bombs on Japan? Who is more merciless than this beast who went in war, dropped depleted uranium on people and white phosphorus? Who is more brutal than this beast who has made a people toil in the mud of civilization for well over four centuries and chopped off, hacked off, and stepped on their own children out of the wombs of the black mothers? Who the hell is more brutal than that man there? Talk back to me if you got an answer. As the world goes out, the atmospheres of poverty, dread, and fear. Oh, man, and you got these Negroes here. Can't see the light, standing right in the sunshine. And can't understand what's beaming on their skin. They don't know that the light of truth is what gives them vitamins and minerals to live and prosper and grow. The light of truth is in your midst today, and it cannot get as clear as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And you still think, oh, I got me a good job. I'm going to retire. I got me 5 more years, and I'm going to retire. Boss going to give me a good pension. Yeah, he gave them people in Detroit a good one too, didn't he? What happened to it? Just one finger from the hand of God touched Detroit, and it went from the engineering and industrial capital of the world to a joke, right? And you still think you got your refrigerator full of food. See, the judgment hadn't really touched you yet, but it's coming. It's coming because you don't believe. You're from Missouri. You're from the Showman State. But God's showing you all the while what he's going to do to you. And believe me, hunger going to touch you. You're not going to get away from this unless you wrap yourself up in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Hunger is coming for you.
Along with gasoline, U.S. consumer prices are up across the board. The consumer price index climbed 0.4% in May, the largest rise in 15 months. Let's talk about how this affects consumer spending with Michael Santoli, senior columnist for Yahoo Finance. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
This is kind of being led by food, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Necessities in general. So food, you mentioned gasoline, rent is another one. But food in particular, especially meat, produce, fresh food, have been supply constrained because of drought and other reasons. So, yes, that is one of the big drivers of the inflation numbers
recently. It's terrible timing for us consumers because we have gasoline going up, food going up, and airline tickets going up,
right,
all when we want to be out and doing things in the summer.
Exactly. So you're getting pinched. And, of course, inflation in general has not been a big problem. It's not been the main economic problem for a while now, and now you're starting to see it emerge as a potential one. At this point, the levels of inflation aren't that high, but as we mentioned, it's in necessities. It's in the things that you generally need to spend something on.
Is the gas price increase, do you think, short-term and largely related to Iraq?
Part of it is short-term. So this most recent lift, yes, world oil prices are up on the Iraq tensions, also, you know, even carrying over from Ukraine. So yes, but there's also been relatively strong demand, lower supplies in the U.S. because the U.S. is now a big gasoline exporter. So yes, it's probably Iraq-related. And, you know, we were here in 2008, at this time of year at the same prices. The economy's bigger. You have higher wages to some degree over that span of time, and we're driving less and we're more fuel efficient. So it probably shouldn't bite as bad as it did a few years ago.
When you look at the market, when do you see things pivoting?
It's very hard to say when they pivot. I mean, it does seem as if the summer is going to have some upward pressure on gasoline. So I do think that's going to be something we might be dealing with for a while. I don't see it kind of running away to the upside, though.
What about food prices? I mean, how long are we going to live with this?
It's very hard to know. I mean, we have to kind of know about, you know, sort of the harvest and everything else. You know, we should point out it's really fresh food. It's yeah. meat and it's produce and things that domestically we produce and you want to buy pretty quickly. Packaged foods, also food eaten out at restaurants, is not really driving higher in terms of price.
I always hope these segments will be uplifting. But
we try.
Michael Santoli, thank you so much. Right.
They see it coming. Hunger is upon us. No jobs nowhere. Cutting off this. Have you ever noticed, say for instance you live somewhere in a subdivision or you live in an apartment complex. Have you noticed, and I'm not in an apartment complex, I'm in a little subdivision, but have you ever noticed that the demand for the homeowners or for the renters or what have you continue to go up, the prices, right? The rules, the regulations, yet the services continue to go down. That's a part of inflation. You're feeling it even in your home, in your area. That's inflation. That's 100% inflation. When you cannot extract equal amount that you put out, that's inflation, right? Whenever you're paying out more than is coming in, or more than what you have coming in is worth less than what you're putting out. That's inflation. And it's hitting us everywhere. And this is a sign that all of the pillars, all of the economic barometers used to measure the wealth of Anglo society and Anglo world is showing and pointing towards economic collapse. As I was just talking to you, something came to mind about these entertainers, these black entertainers who've achieved certain wealth. They don't realize the time that we're in. They have been mesmerized by the limelight and by the society of the white man. As I'm thinking over people like the rapper Jay-Z and Beyonce and Puff Daddy, and I'm just thinking over them. And every time you hear people talk about them, oh, they're rich. Their net worth is such and such. They are putting their worthiness in the amount of a dollar, and the amount of a dollar is not worth squat. You see the charts everywhere. Well, the dollar is only worth 2 to 3 cents of what it was in 1914, 1913. So you are degrading yourself. It is almost as though, it is like when the woman takes the picture today. No matter how much brain she has and how much she has accomplished and how beautiful she may be and appealing to the eyes, because this society has warped her thinking to believe that her worth is in her physical assets. You see most pictures taken by the women are from the backside or from the side to show off their posterior, their derriere, their behind, right? So it is with these entertainers. They have been warped in their Eurocentric thinking that my value can be put in a dollar. Well, baby, I want to tell you all that in the eyesight of God, who has come and declared with an oath that he would free you at any cost, that in his eyes, you priceless. You better recognize this and take that value off of you of the dollar, which is quickly losing what little value it has left. You are priceless. That God has declared that he would call in the powers of the heavens and the earth to redeem, resurrect, and uplift you. Yet you want to put yourself in these little compartments, these little boxes. And the white man is telling you all the while, my dollar declining. My society is imploding. Yet I'm worth $400 million. I'm worth $650 million. I've achieved $1 billion. Well, what are you going to say about yourself when it loses all of its value and all that money is in the streets? You still worth $1 billion? Then you'll be worth $2 trillion, because that's what it'll be laying in the streets. Get out of this mindset of this. Come out of her, my people. It's talking about come out of her way of life, her thinking, her actions, her name, her culture. Come out of her, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. This is what the book is teaching you. And all the while you thinking that you're a part of this, I'm going to play the clip that I tried to play two shows ago that they kept banning us from playing, and we tried to play it last show, and they wouldn't let us play it too. So I'm going to play this clip, and I want you to pardon the cursing in here. But this is from a former person who used to be on Wall Street making his living, and he is teed off about the situation that now faces his nation, America. So I'm hoping they'll let us play this, okay? Listen closely to this. They won't let us do it this time. I tried to put it under a different name to see if they would allow it. Well, what we'll do right here, we'll try it again, okay? We'll try it on this one. I put this one under a different name to see. I put a couple of them under a different name to see if they would just let it slide, okay? So listen, this I think it's the same clip. Here we are.
Hey, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. You're tuning into AMTV Alternative Media Television. It is, of course, Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. And the price of meat, chicken, and fish soars to an all-time high, kneecapping and destroying your purchasing power, your ability to feed your family. And it's all courtesy of the Federal Reserve, and it's about to get much, much worse in the not-too-distant future. And again, this is all due to the policies put into place on your behalf. Unelected positions, positions that Janet Yellen holds and people before her, terrorists like Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan, held before her, appointed by the president to destroy the value of your currency, which you, most of you at least, work very hard to put into your pocket on a daily basis to provide things like electricity, housing, and more importantly, food on the kitchen table when you meet your family for dinner, all being destroyed due to the policies of the Federal Reserve. And evident in this recent report of the price of meat, chicken, and fish soaring to all-time highs. And again, it's about to get much, much worse. Here we have a report from CNS News says the price index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs rocket to an all-time high. The seasonally adjusted price index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs hit an all-time high in May, according to the data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Again, typically they're massaging the data, but here we have some real numbers to work with. In January 1967, when the BLS started tracking this measure, the index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs was 38.1. As of late May, it was 234. By January, 240. By April, almost 250. And in May, 252. The index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs has risen 7.7% over the span of the last year, says the BLX. The index for food and home increased 0.7%, et cetera, et cetera. Here you can see the chart. Meats, poultry, fish, and eggs index hits an all-time high, according to the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Consumer prices rising sharply in May. USA Today, consumer prices last month posted their sharpest increase in 15 months as inflation continued a recent acceleration from unusually low levels. Gasoline on the rise, much ado with the unfolding crisis in Iraq, which has been the byproduct of an illegal war in the Middle East started by the Bush administration, later continued by Obama, then pulled troops 3 years ago only to send troops back, and now he's going to ally himself with Iran. I mean, if that isn't evidence that we have a terrorist in the White House, I don't know what is, partnering with what Washington had once called the Great Satan, Iran, is now suddenly our friend in Iraq. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But gasoline prices at the pump set to hit new highs, six-year seasonal highs. Gasoline, of course, a tax on the economy, a tax on the consumer. This is all, of course, a part of the New World Order agenda, the elite's agenda to kneecap you while they profit in the billions, if not trillions of dollars, much like what we saw in the lead-up and build-up in oil prices hitting 200-plus bucks a barrel pre the 2008 financial crash before they accepted giant bailouts, transferred trillions of dollars of wealth from you, the little guy, and destroyed our economy, much of which we are still living through today, now approaching an inflationary holocaust here in the United States of America. Here we have an exclusive CNBC report says, will the whiff of inflation hitting the nose of Janet Yellen prod the Fed to raise interest rates? And honestly, my analysis here is, of course not. They can't raise interest rates, folks. If they raised interest rates from zero, where they are to now, the entire economy would collapse overnight. All these financial bubbles and housing, real estate, the stock market, the bond bubble would literally implode on itself. So they can't raise rates. So what does that mean for you, the little guy? Well, what that means is expect more inflation. Expect an inflation holocaust, which is what we're getting now. And again, it's going to get much, much worse because of the policies here of financial terrorists like Janet Yellen, these selected, not elected officials on behalf of the president that continue these acts of terror into infinity. Much like Alan Greenspan did with 0% interest rates, helping to blow up the largest financial bubble in the history of the world before the recent implosion that, by the way, we just got out of just a couple years ago, and now it's a new gravy train, and there's new bubbles being formed, and they're even bigger. They're going to get bigger, worse, and more dramatic than we've ever seen them, and you're going to be on the streets because of it. So thank her, thank your president, thank Washington, and thank the criminal Federal Reserve. Here we have a Wall Street Journal report saying the interest rate puzzle confronts Federal Reserve officials as it's some kind of puzzle, which of course we know that's BS. It's not a puzzle. This is all a part of the manipulation game. This is all a part of the New World Order paradigm and the program. Again, they can't raise interest rates or the entire financial system will collapse. It will implode. We are structurally weaker and more insolvent today than we were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. It's exactly why the federal government, on your behalf, through taxpayer bailouts and all of this infused money, has taken on even more and more amounts of debt than we ever have before in the history of the world. It's exactly why we have a U.S. debt clock at $17.5 trillion and growing into infinity on a daily basis. This isn't a conundrum. This isn't something that they're puzzled by or confronting. It's the plan. It's the program, and it's being implemented right now. Again, expect an inflationary holocaust. Expect much larger bubbles than you've ever seen before. Now, what's amazing about this, folks, is this is as good as it gets. With 0% interest rates and trillions of dollars in bailouts paid for by you so that you can support too-big-to-fail institutions and banks and also criminals, Wall Street criminals like Warren Buffett, who raises my blood pressure, this is as good as it gets in the U.S. economy. With the Wall Street Journal reporting that the economy actually shrank according to the U.S. government last quarter. It was actually shrinking at a 1% GDP rate last quarter in quarter one. Of course, this is all revised. You know, they report it as a funny number, like it actually grew. And then later on, when no one's paying attention, they do the revised number, and it shows that we actually had less than zero growth. That's how good things are. With 0% interest rates, bailouts into infinity, and massive amounts of debt, our economy actually isn't growing. That's how horrible it actually is. And in the meantime, inflationary pressures are rising. And the things that you need to live, to feed your family, are all rising. It's one of the reasons why commodity prices are up so aggressively over the past few years. And there's mass poverty all around the world, especially out of the United States. We have our own poverty concerns here in the USA, but many people can't get access to quality nutrition because of the policies at the Federal Reserve System. Again, this is a humanitarian crisis. And these people are financial terrorists, and they are financial criminals. And they are not working on your behalf. They are working on the behalf of these financial elitist scumbags that force bailouts and transfer trillions of dollars of wealth and engage in criminal activities at the highest law of the land. And again, the American people just allow it to happen. They allow the bigger bubbles to form while we print numbers in post here of negative on GDP. In the meantime, the ECB, as I reported on just about a week ago, has imposed negative interest rates. Yeah, things are so good over there in combination with here in the United States, they've gone negative on their interest rates, trying to hold together the European Union, which has only been around some decade or so, which is in the process of disintegrating right now. Literally shards of broken glass spraying all across your computer screen. It's been 10 years roughly, and the entire European Union is collapsing right before your eyes. Just like this is the fall of the American Empire here in the United States of America. They're actually going negative, baby! Negative interest rates is what is needed so that this thing can collapse just a little bit slower. Now, of course, all this translates into this paper wealth here, this BS money that it's not worth the paper it's printed on. All of this goes to zero at some point, folks. All of your IRAs, your Roth IRAs, your 401ks, your retirement accounts, many of you baby boomers that saved up for your entire life, worked your asses off, all of this eventually goes to zero. You might as well just light a match now, pop open a beer and smoke a blunt and enjoy it. You might as well light it on fire now. Otherwise, the Federal Reserve is going to do it for you. And this is exactly what's happening. creating new financial bubbles, bigger, bolder, badder than they were before, and the repercussions will be far worse. It's destroying your purchasing power, your ability to feed your family, your livelihood, your ability to retire, to get a return on your investment, all due to negative interest rates and criminal activity at the criminal Federal Reserve, and these people acting on behalf of the New World Order paradigm today. Of course, the bubble getting much, much bigger. We're seeing it here in Phoenix. We're seeing it all across the country. We're seeing it in Europe with asset prices skyrocketing again because they're still lending at 0%. They're still lending at all-time low interest rates. They're still giving mortgages to people at 3.5%, at 5%. All of this endorsed by the FHA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac, the same criminal entities that had horrible underwriting standards pre-2008, profited in the trillions, and then accepted trillions in bailouts after making their trillions and transferring all of that wealth from you to them. Again, this is a part of the criminal Ponzi scheme that makes up the United States system today. And the question is, how much bigger can the bubble get? That's what's so, it's almost entertaining. I mean, I honestly can't wait to see how much bigger it gets. I mean, I know people in the real estate game today doing the same stuff that they were doing pre-2008, buying and flipping homes, borrowing money at 0%, accumulating lots of money in equity, cashing out, the bubble again getting bigger, bolder. It's going to be worse than anything we've ever seen until it implodes. So again, pop open your beer, smoke a blunt right now, and watch the world set ablaze. And thank the Federal Reserve for your own self-destruction. Here we have images of what people think can never happen again in a post-apocalyptic financial crash, is what we just had, and is now much, much worse, and is being Ponzi by the criminal system and the criminal Federal Reserve that we have today. A picture of a shanty town, tent cities in America in the 1930s. See, this is where you will be living with you and your family when the next collapse hits. You'll be with your hand out, looking for food, digging through the streets, dying in a filthy environment, diseased, without access to what Obama sold you as healthcare. This will be you and your family. This will be the 99% living in Shantyville in the 2000s in a broken, destructive, criminal American system, which they're barely holding together today with 0% interest rates in the States and negative interest rates in the European Union. Again, another image of the unemployed in the 1930s. Again, this will be you. This will be your friends. This will be your family pushing yourself up to the soup, coffee, and donut line for free food for the unemployed. While financial criminals like Warren Buffett, because this is what happens when the markets crash. You know, people like to give Warren Buffett here so much credit, they call him the Oracle of Omaha. I call him the Oracle of Bailout. I call him the bailout king, hearing his butt boy, bun boy Obama giving him some kind of prize. Like, hey, thanks for the bailout, Obama. Really appreciate it. The Oracle of Bailouts. Here's some specifics if you didn't already know. Warren Buffett, of course, owned 27% of Berkshire Hathaway. According to a recent proxy filing, this was during the 2008 financial crisis. He had more than $26 billion. Dollars invested in 8 financial companies that have received bailout money. The TARP, paid for by you, taxpayers, at one point had nearly $100 billion of taxpayer-infused stolen assets from you and me invested into Warren Buffett's companies. And according to new data, this was years ago, by Thomson Reuters, FDIC backs more than $130 billion of their debt. To put that into perspective, 75% of the debt these companies had issued since late November had come with a federal bailout guarantee. Here's a take a look at some of the holdings here. Goldman Sachs, here's his bailout, $10 billion from taxpayers. Wells Fargo, $25 billion from taxpayers. American Express, $3.3 billion from taxpayers. U.S. Bank Corp, $6.6 billion from taxpayers. Bank of America, $45 billion from taxpayers. Bottom line here, folks, without your bailout, without this criminal activity occurring in Washington on your behalf, without these criminals here, the Oracle of Bailouts receiving handouts from taxpayers, he would have lost billions of dollars in 2008. Yet people hold him up on a pedestal
like he's some damn good investor, when he's actually a financial criminal, no better than John Corzine, who stole money from his own client accounts with MF Global. The truth and the bottom line is, all of these financial institutions, of which Warren Buffett was invested billions, would have gone to zero, and he would have lost everything in the heart of the 2008 financial crisis. Much like what you're going to do, much like where you'll be living in the next financial crash. If it didn't already sit you onto the streets now in 2008, if you're not already living the repercussions now, you will be. You'll be living here. You'll be this guy while this guy continues to get all the fame, fortune, and misguided acclaim. Really just a PR stuntman is who this man is. A criminal and financial terrorist happy to receive bailouts and cozy up to the president of the United States. It's a problem, folks, and it's exactly where we're headed. Again, an inflationary holocaust until the next...
An inflationary holocaust is coming. Then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, without the backing of gold and silver backing America's dollar, right, this means the financial loss of American power, right? What did he say? He says, this means 100% inflation. What is 100% inflation? Hyperinflation. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is being proven 100% right and exact. And I don't care how much you don't like it, it's the truth. And so this man is telling you that there won't be jobs. What did Elijah Muhammad say? There will be no jobs. Prepare for the day of want. X, Y, and Z, because there may come a time when you will need X, Y, and Z. This is what Muhammad has taught us, and now you are seeing it, you are hearing it, and yet you act like you can't recognize what he said. But you have been swept away, and I'm worth $600 billion. You are more enticed by somebody else's worth or wealth, that you spend your time on entertainment and sports trying to find out how much LeBron makes. He'll be in the poorhouse shortly too. All of those who had the chance to help us out of the mire, whether they're black, brown, red, yellow, white, or whatever, will suffer for their rejection of helping you and I out of this miry clay that this society has forced us into. You have been swept, and this is what Muhammad says. There is no justice for the poor so-called Negroes in America as long as they are subjects under the American flag. A great attempt is now being made on the poor, lost found so-called Negroes, to deceive them by making false friendship and the passage of civil rights bills and forcing themselves to accept the lost found so-called Negroes into their social equality. But this, he says, is only a trap for us. To accept it will make us enemies of God and our black people of Africa and Asia, who are our true friends. It would be totally ignorant on our part to be swept away to our doom by accepting these maelstrom promises of social equality temptations. Our ignorant masses cannot be trusted under the charms, temptations of honor alike. But in the end, you will regret your actions. If America, see America say, we're going to get some jobs. We're going to pass another act. We're going to build America. We're going to do this. You'll be a part of it. But Muhammad tells us, if America wants to offer us a better side of her, why not offer us something of permanent good, such as a portion of this country, a few states for our ever-increasing population? Will the white man fool himself into continuously making promises to us that he knows he cannot fulfill? He has his own problems of unemployment, with the ever-increasing unemployed of his own kind fleeing from Asia and Africa, plus the loss of foreign trade. Can we hope for him to care for us and our children forever? No. He says emphatically no. We need a place on this earth that we can call our own and go to work and produce our own needs. And this will provide us with the employment for our unemployed. Let no man deceive you. What you talking about, Elijah Muhammad? Let no man deceive you. We are face to face with a change of worlds. One world going out, one world coming in. As the old world goes out, the atmospheres of poverty, dread, and fear. You see, we go to our Savior has arrived, okay? Page 77, the messenger says, we are living in the days of Allah. This means that Allah is present and he is laying a foundation for a new government, a government of peace and security for the righteous, a government that will not be left to the scholars and scientists of this wicked world, lest the scholars and scientists of this world try and build the same thing that they have already built. For they do not have the knowledge to build anything different. The world of the white race is doing what it was made to do, to try the righteous with wickedness and filth. So they cannot produce anything other. That's why they are all confused. The creative mind was taken from them as it was supposed to at the end of their rule. Now they can't even make new movies. Right? They just rearranged the titles. Snow White and the such and such. Hansel and such and such. They can't even make new movies. Their creative thought is gone from them. So how can they make a new system when they're corrupt? Their system is corrupt. And their very nature and core is that of evil, deception, and corruption. It cannot be done, right? Come on, talk back, brothers and sisters. This is a beautiful day. And so we hear so much of the black Muslims denying a new world order because they have listened to so much alternative media. But this is what Elijah Muhammad gives to us, and what Elijah Muhammad gives to us is the unadulterated truth of God. He says, right here, the will of Allah is being done. This is the chapter in Our Savior Has Arrived. The will of Allah is being done. Why didn't he put that in the fall of America? Why did he put that in the book called Our Savior Has Arrived? Because he wants to introduce something to you. The will of Allah is being done as you see America falling. The fall of America is the book where it describes the fall of America in detail. And Our Savior Has Arrived was the last book that Muhammad did and gave out to the people for free at the last appearance of him at Savior's Day. Isn't that something? So this tells us something. He wanted to acquaint us with something to save us in the fall. So in chapter 26 of Our Savior Has Arrived, he has a title called The Will of Allah is Being Done. So all that you see and hear, feel, experience, smell, and touch, it's happening because of Allah. He goes and says this. The new world of Islam is coming in. Not the old world of Islam, but a new world of Islam. Behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21:5. We are living in the change of worlds. The old world is going out, and the new world is coming in. This is something to be happy and thankful to Allah for, to bear witness to the change. Brothers and sisters, that's why the white man is mad. That's why he don't want no new world, because he's satisfied with the old. He can't fathom a more justice and equitable world. But for you who deny a new world, for a new world, you must have a new mind, new actions, new manners, new speech, new language, right? A new thought. You cannot produce something new out of something that is old, right? In the mannerism that we're speaking about, we're talking about something totally that we can go into that on a different level. But I'm talking about right now, okay? This is what he says right here. As he says, this is the first time that Allah has been known in person. What you mean the first time? I thought Allah has always been. Yes. But this is the first time in 66 trillion years that God has revealed himself so thoroughly to you and I. The first time in 66 trillion, not million, not billions, not tens of billions, not hundreds of billions, not even trillions, but tens of trillions, 66 trillion years that God has revealed himself so fully. And Muhammad says, this is the first time that Allah has been known in person. The coming of Allah in person indicates, listen to this, indicates this change of worlds, signifying a permanent change where God will set up his kingdom of Islam without interference. This is the end of opposition and attacks against the righteous and their righteous religion, Islam. That's page 144. Our Savior has arrived. The new world that is coming in, that's us. God is establishing us. His presence in 1930 signified a permanent change of worlds, a new world order brought to you by the God of the universe. You, brothers and sisters, I don't think you're realizing the time. I don't think you are analyzing what Muhammad is teaching you. I don't think you are realizing that the devil is being forced to bear. He ain't telling you these things in the news because he got to. I mean, because he wants to. He's telling you this because God is forcing him to. I'm going to bring Brother Minister John in here in just a minute. And I'm not going to get to these last few clips because the time is limited. I wanted to. I may get to one more, and then I'll finish it up on the next show. But I want to – I pulled up a part of the article that I have been talking about, it, and this is what they're reporting in the white media. This is the headline. And I'm going to read the first one, two, three, four, five, six, maybe first four to six sentences on that. But this is the headline. Is Earth's magnetic field getting weaker? Dramatic dip spotted across the Western Hemisphere could damage satellites. And it says, ESA's Swarm satellite constellation reveals data on Earth's magnetic field. The result presented in Denmark show the field is weakening in places, the Western Hemisphere in particular. It's dramatically getting weaker. But other places, including the east coast of Africa, are becoming stronger. He's cutting a shortage in the atmosphere and the gravity in the Western Hemisphere. Do you hear this? And this is from the Daily Mail. Let me get back to this. This is from the Daily Mail, one of the most popular red newspapers in the world out of Britain. What, you going to call me a liar? It's right there for you to read. So, on that note, I'm not going to even play that last clip. I'm going to let Brother Minister John come in and have his say. Brother Minister John, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God who came in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. We forever thank Allah and thank Allah and thank Allah for coming and raising up among you and I our beloved leader, teaching guide, the most honorable and humble Elijah Muhammad. My beloved brothers and sisters, indeed we are in the judgment. All of the prophets of old, all what they prophesied that would take place have taken place. All what they say, the coming of God, everything they prophesied have appeared. Now you and I, that awesome God whom the prophets say would come, now is come. And we thank him for coming. And my beloved brothers and sisters, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, in this hour in which we live, in the judgment, in the presence of Almighty God, Allah, who made his appearance in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. Now he is here calling us out of a dying world, calling us out of a world that he's going to burn up. And he's saying to us through his messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to come to cleanse our mind, to cleanse our heart. We must have a new heart, and we must have a new mind. We must change our heart, and we must change our mind. This is the purpose of God's coming to us, is to make us over anew. The white man have experimented on the so-called American Negro for over 400 years. And now that God, that awesome God whom the prophets predicted would come, is come. And now he comes in all of his splendor and glory and power, showing forth his power above your head, out of space, showing his power beneath our feet, showing his power in the waters, in the atmosphere, the atom of air that we breathe, showing his power there. And today we must change our mind from that of a Negro, from that of a so-called Negro, from that of the white man civilization. We must change our mind. We must strive to be righteous in our mold in the day of judgment when Allah quakes the earth and let it shake under your feet. It's like a big fly lighting on a horse neck. The horse just shakes the neck. He doesn't shake his whole body. Well, that's the power of God. The power of God is shaking the earth today. He's shaking it. He's walking through the earth. And he's letting man know today you and I must change our mind and change our heart to righteousness. The fall, the destruction, the pulling of the power of God in the magnetic field. All of these things coming to our head now. Allah calling us, and he's saying to us, come into righteousness. You can't come in what you have in. You got to take that out of you. The old ideas and the old mind and the old heart, that got to be taken out, as the messenger took up a subject with us some time ago. Oh, Allah, operate on the nation. Give the nation a new heart, a new mind. And in all for us, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called on his God in the person that he knows, that he stayed with, that the one who taught him, the one who opened up his blinded eyes, the one who called him from the rubbish heap, the one who set his feet on solid ground, the one who sit and took the book out of the hand of the man who sat in the seat, that one, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the messenger of God, is now calling us and asking Allah through his messenger to come clean us up, make us fit for the hereafter. Make us fit to go into the world that God is pushing and forcing us out from the white man into the righteous world. But in order to enter into the righteous world, you got to go through a door. And that door now is that door is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the messenger of God. The messenger of God. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that last one, that last messenger, that one whom God came for, that one whom is the apples of God's eye. So you and I today, as this world crumbles, as the money dries up, is no good, you and I must have a pure heart. That Jesus said, only the pure in heart will see God as he is. And many of you today out in the world, you don't see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as the messenger of God. You don't see Master Farad Muhammad as the Mahdi, as the great awesome God that all of the prophets look and search and pray for is have arrived. And he has arrived to the so-called American Negro of the tribe of Shabazz. He specified the tribe. There's many tribes, but he said, I came for the lost, found nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. Who is he, Muhammad? He is the tribe of Shabazz that God came for. So now you and I must clean ourselves up in righteousness. Stop being just